numbers.
This is the sound of the International Record Corporation of Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, my baby left this morning, riding on a new country. My baby left this morning, riding on a new country. And I got that load of feeling, I won't be seeing my baby again. I'd buy her a nice long letter, tell her how I tell her. Write her a nice long letter, tell her how I tell her. I'd ask her to forgive me, but I don't know where she's gone. Well, I go down to the station, she watched that train to me. Go down to the station to watch that train come in. Hoping and a praying she'd be coming back home again.
A new dimension in sound that owes its quality to the use of the finest processing equipment. For mastering, the International Record Corporation uses a computerized Neumann lathe with a Neumann SX15 cutter head, and that's from Germany. For matrixing, Europa Film from Sweden. For pressing, equipment by Adams of the United States and Alpha of Sweden. The result is quality in every note. But listen once more to this new dimension in sound.
Go!
The International Record Corporation will bring new life to your particular group, to your church choir, glee club, or soloist. They could sound like this.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Oh, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. On the mountain, while I spoke, out His mouth came fire and smoke. In the valley, on my knees, as my Lord have mercy, please. Oh, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray, I will pray. Oh, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart,
with this guaranteed quality sound, we also offer the extra bonus of pure poly vinyl with a 1, 2, 3, or 4 color label, a paper sleeve, a multicolor jacket, and for even further protection, poly wrapping. We have only one problem with our quality and service. We can't decide which is better. A new dimension in sound, the extra bonus of poly wrapping, multicolor labels, and recording on polyvinyl. They're all yours with the International Record Corporation of Vancouver, B.C.
Unfortunately, now closed. And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard right there, Imperial Records, 1968 to 1988, the last record. And that was the first record, Factory Order 001, featuring Jack Cullen and a host of unknowns. It was kind of like a promo record for Imperial Records, IRC, that was a functioning record plant in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where you get vinyl done between 1968 and 1988. After that, you had to get vinyl done at Praise Records in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada for a couple more years. Then you had to go to World Records all the way in Bowmanville, Ontario. And then you had to go, depending on your choice, to United Record Pressing Plant in Nashville, Tennessee, or Alberti Record Manufacturing Plant, now closed in California, or Rainbow, basically places in the States, because Canada no longer presses vinyl, although another place in Canada opened up a few years ago, Music Manufacturing Services, and they do vinyl now, although I'm not sure if they're going to keep on doing the vinyl. Today on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with the Donnas. Right now, before we get to the Donnas, the Controller.
He's a poor boy. He's a rich boy. He's a little boy. He's a big boy. So what I'm not to do? So what I like you? So what he can't ask you? So what ain't got nothing to do? He's a poor boy. He's a big boy. He's a little boy. He's a big boy. Yeah.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and an Ardmore to Human Serviette radio show. And that was from 1977. The Pack from Germany, not to be confused with The Pack from Britain. Before that, you heard The Controllers from Los Angeles, also from 1977. And speaking of Los Angeles, at that time, of course, the Germs were rocking. Don Bowles was a drummer for the Germs. He ended up in 45 Grave. 45 Grave had a really cool logo. Don Bowles claims it was stolen by Nikki Sixx and Motley Crue. So basically the Motley Crue logo was stolen from the Germs, just to simplify things. Indirectly stolen from the Germs because Don Bowles wasn't a Germs and he was in 45 Grave. So I guess it was stolen from 45 Grave. Good old Nikki Sixx. He loved stealing punk things. He actually grew up in Seattle, Washington. I think he went to the same high school that Kim of the Fastbacks went to. Nikki Sixx's real name is Frank. And before we get into an interview with the Donnas, we have the Donnas covering Motley Crue on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show with a song written by Motley Crue as performed by the Donnas. And right after that, an interview with the Donnas.
Too fast for love. Hardware. Let's do the interview.
Who are you?
We're the Donnas.
Please introduce the Donnas.
Okay, I'm Tori.
I'm Brett.
I'm Allison.
I'm Maya Ford.
Donnas, please tell me, Brett, about your uncle-in-law. Your uncle-in-law is Canadian.
That is like the farthest thing from our band to start with, but yeah, he is.
Your uncle-in-law is Canadian,
yeah.
And some Canadians might know your uncle-in-law.
It's true. They might.
Your uncle-in-law, Brett, is?
His name is William Shatner.
Now, how the hell did that happen?
I don't really know the story. I don't really know the story, actually, the full story. But I'm a big fan, so I like it.
Because uncle-in-law presumes it's something kind of newer, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
It is newer.
Like, when the Donnas first started out, Brett didn't say, my uncle-in-law is Canadian, did she?
No,
he wasn't.
She didn't have...
I didn't even have any uncles-in-law at the time.
So the Donnas start up, and then you get hooked up with William Shatner. That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, we're doing all the theme songs for all the new sci-fi movies. It's going to be great.
Basically, we're trying to do whatever we can to get famous. So
right.
Well, He did put an album out, which is making him very famous. How is his album sales versus yours, Brett?
I don't want to talk about that. It's really depressing.
We heard they topped the college charts, and ours weren't even on.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you guys get together for Thanksgiving. You're all sitting there. It's like, hey, Brett, I'm Emily Shatner. I collaborated with Ben Mink, Ben whatever.
Ben Folds?
Yeah. I just said Ben Mink because Ben Mink is related to Katie.
Mink.
Katie Lang. He did stuff with Katie Lang and stuff like that, I think.
Wow, you're going out there.
He's really on the outskirts right here.
Were you guys insulted at all? Were you insulted?
Minks. Joey Minks.
Wow, another connection. Another Canadian sort of connection.
Why did you insulted?
Well, we insulted. You weren't invited to perform on his album.
Oh, no. We talked about a lot of music during the making of our album and his album, and it just never came up.
Oh, that's too bad. Now, I got to delve a bit deeper here, Brett, but Brett Anderson is your name.
True.
Now, a lot of people think of Brett Anderson. They might think of that band.
Sweet.
Other band.
Yeah.
It's a little known fact that Brett
is a man.
Yeah, is a man and flies across the Atlantic Ocean many times a year.
You're mad at me, actually, because I spend all my time with this band
right.
And my other band. I neglect them a little.
Oh.
I don't think about that, though. I think of Lori Anderson.
Oh, no!
Now, Brett, is there a connection to Lori Anderson as well?
Yeah, I'm actually for real related to her.
And how are you related to Lori Anderson?
My dad's cousin, so that makes her my second cousin once removed.
So does that mean at Thanksgiving you have William Shatner, you have Lori Anderson, and Lou Reed?
No.
Because Lou Reed is doing something with DeLore, isn't he?
Sure.
They're doing something, that's right.
Something.
They're not. Are they married or are they just?
They're just together.
They're just hanging.
We were actually, all of us, we were in Vanity Fair the same month that they were in Vanity Fair together.
She is so incredible, and I don't want to deviate from the Donnas too much, but she is artist in residence. She is artist in residence at NASA.
Really? I love NASA.
Yeah, my uncle works for NASA.
Really?
Yeah.
So is there a chance that he may have bumped into Lori Anderson?
Maybe.
You got to ask him that.
Okay, I will.
Like the artist in residence at NASA.
Yes. NASA. Is that how you say it?
It's a Canadian pronunciation.
You changed it.
Donnas, tell me about the poo pipe that exploded.
Oh, that's a smuggler.
We'd actually just talked about that with them this morning.
Pictures.
What was going on here? There was a poo pipe that exploded, and you had to be rescued by firemen.
Yeah, it was awesome. We thought it was beer, and then we thought it was coffee. And Nick was covered, like half of his face was completely covered.
Well, a bit of backstory here. You're backstage at a club, all ready to go on.
I wasn't there.
Yes, Maya. We were in Cleveland with the smugglers, and we were playing with them, and we were just sitting backstage, and it started feeling kind of strange, and Nick opened the door, Nick from the smugglers, he opened the door, and all this brown water came on his face.
But it was already seeping under the door for a while, like rising, and then bang.
Yeah, we could hear like running water from somewhere.
Did you smell anything at that point?
No.
I don't think anybody ever proved that it was a poo pipe, as you call it. I think it was more of like sewage, so it was all kinds of...
But it was serious enough that firemen had to rescue you.
There was no... trapped in the room. We couldn't get out of the room. There's burning hot water spraying at the door.
It wasn't just hot water. Burning poo water.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard the story. I was like, why didn't you step out? And you actually couldn't because there's chunks coming down.
It could have been rust. It could have been rust.
I think it was kind of like rust. But it actually, we were on a second level, and the main level had the stage, and it came all over the stage, like just running everywhere, like rusty brown water everywhere. So the show was canceled. So
all of our instruments and all of our equipment, it was terrible.
And I was just like downstairs tuning my bass, like wondering why everyone was screaming and what all the water was coming from the ceiling and stuff.
Gigs are important for you guys, but so is time off. You guys are not afraid, are you, to take a Friday or Saturday night off?
Apparently. Last night we had a Friday night off. It's cooler to not play on the weekend, don't you think?
But you can make a lot of money. And I know a couple of years ago you were in Vancouver and you ended up going to Hooters on a Saturday night.
Yes, we did. With the Smugglers again.
We actually went to Hooters recently in like North Carolina or something. That's or West true. Virginia. One of those places.
It was fun. It was really fun. We went with Maroon 5.
But you guys, of course, learned about the Hooters in Vancouver because remember, before it was a Hooters, it was...
I think Americans know about Hooters already.
No, but the Vancouver one. Remember the little trivia about the Vancouver Hooters? What it was before it was Hooters?
No, I don't.
It was Kenny Rogers Broasters.
Oh, I love that place.
We still have those.
So it bombed in Canada, and then we ended up getting the Hooters.
Roasting. It's actually Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Oh, sorry about that. Maybe that's why it bombed there. We couldn't connect.
I hate to break that to you, yeah. Roasting and roasting are similar.
Yeah. Broiling, roasting. It's like, you know.
Roasting is something.
Yeah.
Roasting.
It is something with cooking.
People like to merge words together.
That's what I really like, though, about the Donnas, is you guys will put up with people like myself asking questions, getting words wrong, but also you understand.
We're old friends.
You understand how things work.
Why is your on right now?
You understand how things work. You've seen it all before, haven't you?
Well, maybe not all of it, but a lot.
It's all been done before.
Yeah. No, there's always someone new that's fun.
But there's always something going on with the Donnas. I mean, if you aren't doing the poo piping or the broasting, you're doing contests. What sort of contests are going on? There's always some sort of neat contest with the Donnas, isn't there?
Oh, like a makeout contest or something?
Well, makeout, and there's like internet stuff. Like, what contests are running constantly right now?
Our fan club, we have contests all the time to meet us, and they come, they can just meet us at the sound check.
Oh my God,
we have a Guitar Center contest, I think. I'm not really sure.
I don't know the details of it. A lot of our contests we don't really know anything about until someone wins, and then we have to do something.
We're like, someone won a guitar, but we accidentally gave it to the wrong person, and then some people got mad. But it was an accident.
And then the wrong person sold it on eBay.
Is all this being set up by Molly, your manager? Like, she's just saying, I want to live my fantasy through the Donnas. They're going to have a Nokia giveaway.
I think she's lived a lot of fantasies through herself. So I think that she needs us her vicarious life.
But she's our manager.
You're guinea pigs in a way, aren't you?
Oh, no. We have two managers, though. She and Joey.
But come on, just a second here. You Donnas are forced to do a lot of stuff, aren't you?
No, I wouldn't really say that we're forest. I think that
Well, you're in forests right now.
No, and I feel like, you know, they know who we are and what we want to do, and if it's just like meeting some fans or giving away a guitar, I mean, what's wrong with that?
But you're forced to do quite a few things, Donnas. For instance, you were forced to play a hurricane, weren't you?
We were, but you know what? There was no one forcing.
Come on, we were a hurricane. Let's go back for a second.
It was in Ohio, right?
It was supposed to be weather like this, beautiful weather. There were all these sports planned, all these dumb ex-sports, whatever they do with the skating.
I mean, they said play on.
Yeah. Well, no, they were worrying about us. They wouldn't let us sound check all day because the winds were so high
and lighting fixtures. The $1 million lighting fixtures were swinging around, and they were very worried about those breaking.
But then once it was time for the TV show to happen, they were like, "Well, we don't care about your safety anymore. You have to go on stage for 3 songs."
I mean, that's the Donnas. You've been through it all. You've done it all, haven't you?
Yes.
Forced to play a hurricane.
We don't even care that
we're not forced because we're like at the end when you're like have the choice to say yes or no. We're like, let's just do it.
We always do that. We always break down and we're like, okay, fine.
But, I mean, I think that's great. You're tough because you also played a chili cook-off.
Oh, my God, that one. They had one.
Chili cook-off. Let's back off again. A hurricane and a chili cook-off.
I say about that if you have a second.
Which one's a chili
cook-off? I wanted to talk about, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. It was a chili cook-off in D.C., and there was...
There was a, the chili wasn't even the offensive part, even though there was one called, like, you know, ass blown out of your pants. Blown out.
Yeah.
Ass blowout.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But that was not the worst part. The worst part was that we got some band, Chevelle, played before us and played forever.
Judy World, too.
Yeah. I mean, it was all bands that were famous, and we were like the closer that's not famous.
And the people at the radio station were like, oh, it's doing good, keep going, fuck the Donnas, who cares about them, keep playing.
Yeah, we were like the closer. We were like when everything's over and they bring in like the house band to kind of like, you know.
Actually, they kick the people out. It's like we're playing for the cleanup crew.
Yeah. Or like the disco when all the people that were at the show leave. Yeah. And like the people who are coming for the
death slot, it's been described as.
Cut us off early, like after five songs or something.
No,
it was like two.
You're right, it was like
songs. It was like nothing. And then people started getting mad at us. Yeah. Like, we didn't want to play or something. Like, we flew to D.C. for one day to play two songs. Like, we would ever do that.
Yeah.
And started throwing stuff at us.
And they also knew that we had a flight right afterwards, and they could have put us on earlier.
That's
but
true.
They just weren't thinking.
But the Donnas, you preserved, and you preserved, and whatever the word is.
You persevered.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I also faked crying for them.
Really?
I was really angry, and I can work up a tear pretty easily, so I wanted them to know that they were wrong, in the wrong.
So, Donnas, you've overcome the chili cook-off. Yes. You've overcome the hurricane, but then the new album's all slated for release, and they're like, hey, Donnas, let's involve you with our new technology, the...
Dual disc.
Dual disc, another experiment. What was that?
Well, we were the guinea pigs on that one, and we were sort of, not forced, but I would say we weren't so into it because we didn't want to be the first in case something went wrong.
We were prodded.
What was the pitch? Hey, Donnas, there's this dual disc technology coming out.
Because they said, this is what they said, we are going to advertise it, like whatever band it is, we're going to put all this extra advertising money into it so you can piggyback on that extra money and the money we were going to give you, or you can just do your own disc that way and I'll never see it ever again.
Unfortunately, it
was faulty, and the very last song cuts off after only a minute or something, and all the people who are good fans bought it because it was the special packaging, and you know, it was what they stocked, I think. A lot of people didn't even have the normal version. They had only the dual disc in the beginning.
Is it rare now? Like, is it on eBay?
Yeah, kind of. Well, it's limited, but
I think it was taken back. Like, they took them all back, so if you got a copy, you know, you could return it or
some
something.
Some stores took them back, and some stores didn't. So, a lot of people kept buying them after we posted, not, you know, if you don't... It's cool to buy it if you just want the packaging, but we warned people that there was something wrong, and we were really...
about the last song on the album anyways.
Yeah. It wasn't our fault, though, and so we felt pretty awful because all these people were angry, and...
Also, who cares about the past? We're here now.
Yeah.
We're in Vancouver.
You're in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and you guys have played many gigs everywhere. You're playing in Vancouver. Was there a gig in Texas that you guys played where a guy collapsed this on a stage and then you had to, like, step over him for the entire set?
It was in Dallas, and he grabbed onto my ankle and wouldn't let go, and I was walking around the stage trying to shake him off, and Tori hit him with a stick or tried to.
Yeah.
How long was he on your foot?
Half the song.
Yeah,
it was like kissing your feet, like kind of bowing down to her, but then he like wouldn't get up, like he collapsed and just passed out down there.
I thought it was one guy that actually just fell down on the stage and the whole set, you were like having to step over this passed out guy.
That sounds like something that happens all the time.
What about when stuff is thrown at you? I understand you guys get revenge later.
I've thrown two water bottles.
After the set. That's very interesting, isn't it?
I don't do it anymore. I don't want to be violent.
But in the past...
Yeah, after when the show, if you do it during the show, then there's always time for them to get you back. If you do it at the very end when you're leaving the stage for good, they can't throw anything back.
Oh, I retaliated against a stupid fan. I mean, he wasn't really one of our fans, he was someone else's stupid fan, but he was like passed out and sleeping on the stage, so I poured a Coke on his head, and then he woke up and got really angry and kind of ran away, I think.
What fan was he a band of? Or fan of a band of?
He was German.
He was German?
Oh, yeah, he was in Europe.
He might have been one of our fans.
He was at our show.
But he was just, you know, passed out.
Our fans are not fans of us because of our music at all. They're just interested in the scene and what they can do to mess us up on stage. And that's a way of being a Donnas fan, if you didn't know.
And you have been touring across Canada. You've been to Canada before a few times. Was there some balcony incident, too, that happened?
Oh, in Montreal, a girl tried to I don't know, fly?
she was.
It was like those old after-school specials where they take LSD or
PCP
and they think they can fly and they jump off the ledge.
So funny.
Which is fine because when you're drunk, you know, you can't, you're invincible. But she landed on someone and that they didn't like that too much.
Yeah. So she was okay.
We have actually, Bootley is okay.
Show.
And she like contacted us and but we were just there a couple weeks ago and she sent word, hey, I'm the girl that flew off the balcony. I'm here. That's,
hey, that's
cool.
Me. Remember me?
How about on this particular tour? You've done Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary. What's been going on there? You haven't been there before. Like, we can't really use the Donnas as tour guides for this tour, can we?
Well, no. Winnipeg, though, was a Monday night, so I don't think it was a very good day to judge them by.
Edmonton was awesome.
I
the kids.
Calgary was
cool, and they were smoking a lot in the audience.
Yeah.
And it was, like, filling, permeated the whole place.
They was kind of sleeping while we were playing.
Yeah,
they spoke
like
too much.
I guess I'm wondering about the places to visit. Like, did you guys stop in Saskatchewan?
We stopped in Saskatoon. Yes.
Like, what about the places in the prairies? Anything you like checking out or anything in Canada you like checking out in general? Like, you know, when you keep going back to the town, what do you check out? Or even in North America, is there some of your favorite places?
Well, I think we like the...
I'm just saying that you guys have toured so much.
Yeah.
You guys have been around, done everything. Like, since when is the band been going?
What?
When is the band been going?
Oh, since we were like 13. So.
Like 13, and how old are you now?
The 12th anniversary is
like you've done major labels, you've done indies, you've done it all. I mean, you know it all. I want some advice for Western Canada.
Okay, today we went to that place.
The Value Village.
No, for breakfast.
Oh, the Dutch stew, the wooden Dutch stew.
The Dutch pannenkoek house?
Yes, we love it.
So you'd never experienced one of those before.
No, we've been there before.
See, you've always been to everything before.
Yeah, I've done it all.
That's because the smugglers show us all the good stuff here.
Did you pretend that you'd never been there before?
No,
basically, we said, remember that pancake place? And they were like, you want us to take you there tomorrow? And we were like, yeah. So they just, no. We don't really, there's nothing we haven't seen before.
What about food, like potato knish? What's the deal with potato knish?
Oh, I love a knish.
We put on a rider.
Well, I'm Jewish, and so my mom gets them for me. So when I'm on tour, my mom's not there to, like, buy me food. I get sad, so put them on
the And they're no longer on the riders, are they?
Because nobody knows what they are or how to pronounce them, unless you're in New York or California.
You guys also went to Waffle House.
Yes.
A Waffle House and Mike Tyson.
Yeah, Mike Tyson was there.
That's a real bonus, isn't it?
A 9-egg omelet.
I had one of those. Those are good.
We were surrounded by women and children. It was weird. It was like a publicity
How did you know it was Mike Tyson? Because this was before the tattoo, wasn't it?
No, you know.
It looked like him. It was him. And he had all these bodyguards around him, too.
He's actually a celebrity.
Have you done that to anybody, like, gone up to them and given them a CD or anything like that? Like, or did you try to talk to him?
Our managers gave Owen Wilson our CD because... They, like, saw him at a restaurant and know that Brett's madly in love. And so they just went up to him and, like...
I gave Crispin Glover a tape once.
What did he do with it? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
A tape? That's going back.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I don't know.
He didn't do anything,
no.
Apparently.
Yeah,
I
never even listened to him.
We're still waiting. We're like, maybe Crispin Glover will call.
Donna R., Karate Kid.
My dad?
Did your dad really write The Karate Kid?
He didn't. He wrote a song on the soundtrack that's like when he and the girl and Ralph Macchio? I don't know.
A bit more description, please. There's some Donna's fans that might want to search that out.
Through the night or into the night. I forgot.
Do you have it written down on your notes?
No, I don't. Okay. You seem to be fascinated by my notes, don't you, Tori?
It's funny.
Your notes. Can I
listen? No, we still need to go through the notes here with the...
Donna's.
Now, Donna's, you guys seem to get a lot of good bills, don't you?
Yeah, we played with a lot of good bands.
Like, you got the Schmugglers to play?
Yeah.
Some Canadian friends?
Yeah, they're going to get on stage and play with us tonight. It's going to be the first time they've all been in the same room for a year.
So you help get bands back together? You bring the Sights along?
Yes, the Sights.
Now, what's the deal on the Sights? Don't they have a huge organ that they lug around?
Yes, it takes all of them to carry it.
I like to just watch them load in and watch, like, the six people trying to get it on stage.
It's what has the reaction been to the organ? Is it worth it, or should they just get a Korg?
No, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, the guy, the organ dude, like, does a special dance with the organ, and I think that's why he needs it, because it's, like, his dance partner. Yeah.
So today you're headlining, but a few weeks ago you were playing with Maroon
5!
Now, had you ever been offered anything like that before, like a big tour?
Yeah, Jimmy World we did when they were really having a big hit
Great
a few years ago.
And
And the Strokes, too, right when they were exploding.
And Alice Cooper, right when he was really big.
You know, like 20 years ago.
So what made you take the Maroon 5?
Because they have a lot of young girls that are fans and that are open-minded to new music, so we knew that they wouldn't be there just to see them, that they were into new bands, and we felt like we could convert them.
It's genius, isn't it? Like a girl band playing to a predominantly girl audience.
Yeah, it is, it is. And also, it's hard to choose. Sometimes you get offered things that are very poppy but too embarrassing, you know, and Maroon 5 was like the first thing that came along that we weren't like adverse to the music. We were like, wow, that's actually a band that we could play with.
Now you guys do a head count every night on a Maroon 5 tour, don't you?
Do we?
Don't you like say all the girls in the audience go, yeah, like are there, how many girls are there?
Yeah, there it's ear piercing.
Yeah.
And sometimes I say like I say, you know, all of the guys make some noise too, and they always wither in comparison. Yeah.
The ear piercing? What do you mean?
Oh, when they scream all together, the girls?
Oh, I thought you said everybody's had their ears pierced. Yell.
No.
Could you do that tonight, though?
Okay.
I just got my ears pierced on this tour.
The girl at Value Village had, like, 10 ear piercings.
That's,
so we were out there with Maroon 5. You played Spin the Bottle, but they stole the bottle?
No, I think...
I
saved it. I cleaned it
to tease Maya later and
torture me.
But I took it in the shower with me to clean it out so that our bus wouldn't smell bad.
And then they provided you with some strippers?
Yes, yeah. Actually, the
they
last night. It was
some lap dances from some Chippendale type men.
And the dancers didn't hold back, I understand.
No, they were like licking our necks and humping us and biting us and throwing us around.
It actually was not as empowering as it's meant to be, I think.
Donna's, you meet the fans a lot. You have all your meet and greets. At those particular gigs, there were meet and greets, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were they any different than the usual ones? Were there any Maroon 5 groupies trying to use you to get to Maroon 5?
Actually, I think almost all of them were, they had to be in our fan club already, so. If they were Maroon 5 fans in disguise, I mean the meet and greets before the show. Yeah.
So none of that was existing at all? Because I think it's great you're doing, like, these signings right after you're playing.
Well, even at the signings, they didn't, like, want us, you know, there wasn't any, can you give this to Adam, the singer, or anything?
One girl was like, tell Adam that Mary something said hi, and I was like, I'm not going to remember that.
Another time, like, two 12-year-olds were like, tell them that Jane and Jessica said hi, and I was like, yeah, right, I'm going to remember that.
Did anyone think that you might be in the band? Did anybody think that you were in Maroon 5?
No.
No,
I hope not.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
Donna's, your fans are amazing here. Winding up here with the Donna's in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. BAM Magazine. BAM Magazine.
Oh. It's so old.
Explain about this, Tori.
Did they this year?
No. I believe they snubbed us after because we didn't play the party.
So then we didn't get an award.
Nominated us even after that.
Well, wait a second here. You guys are going a bit of a tangent. I'm going here by saying...
You're the only one that's allowed to go on tangents here.
I'm not allowed to, like, join in this conversation. It's really hard to follow because there's so much information going on there. First, my BAM magazine little... See, you guys know everything. Like, I ask you something. You have stories. You've been to the panic house. I mean, I mentioned BAM magazine. There's a whole other story there.
Well, yeah.
It's hard to get to the bottom of the Donna's.
I know.
Nardwar,
what do you have to say about BAM magazine?
I want to say this, Tori of the Donna's. I want to say this. Your fans are so devoted that they paid $200 on eBay for an old article.
I've signed some of those.
A 1998 article of you guys in BAM.
And a rather terrible photo.
Do you have a copy of that?
I'm sure our mothers do it.
Well, you can get some money now.
Yeah, we should. We talk about that all the time, about bootlegging our own merchandise and selling it so that we can make some money.
That's the only way we can make money now.
That's devoted, though, paying $200 for a BAM! BAM!
Some awesome fans.
BAM! BAM!
Yeah, I know, that is amazing. Brett, when you think of Jimmy Eat World, do you think of shit?
Oh, my God.
Do you?
I can't even imagine why I would.
Yes, you think of shit when you think of Jimmy Eat World.
No, I don't think of shit when I think of...
I usually think of, like, naked girls in underwear.
No, Brett thinks of shit. And I think it was you, I'm not sure, but you got off your bus one day on the Jimmy Eat World tour and you stepped in...
Shit?
No. I did? No, I think you're the one we were just talking about with Grant, with the neighborhood in San Francisco.
Oh, yes.
I thought you stepped in some shit.
At the Warfield.
Yes, oh, you're
right. You got off the bus.
I didn't step in it, but we did. We were in the Tenderloin in San Francisco where the Warfield is, and there was some shit, and it wasn't dog shit. And but I don't really connect those memories in my head. No, I just connect that with hometown memories.
Yeah, I would connect that with Jimmy Eat World. Like,
ah! Oh, shit.
I mean Jimmy Eat Shit.
Yeah, that's your home.
Yeah.
There is shit associated with Jimmy Eat World, then.
I guess you're right, yeah.
Thank you very much, Brett of the...
Donna's.
Oh, Donna's here. Another quote. Well, actually, a quote that I haven't brought up before. We made great friends of Slipknot, Hatebreed, and System of a Down.
We're about to go see them, actually.
Some people made better friends than others.
It's true. Oh.
Mm-hmm. But that's quite harsh. I mean, those are big names, aren't they? Slipknot.
Hatebreed. Why do you call
them?
Come on, Slipknot. Hatebreed. System of a Down.
We had a lot of fun with them in Australia.
Really, it's true.
We get along with metal people.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. I love what you said. We had such fun with them in Australia.
We did.
Well, it's great. Like, Slipknot. Hatebreed. System of a Down. Dawn's. I never would have thought, like 1996, you guys, did you, Slipknot?
I didn't think we would get along with them either. I was scared of them. I would watch them from the side of the stage and be really scared. But then I learned to love it, and they're fun to hang out with.
And looking at you guys in Adonis, what's your height? Is it average height?
I think I'm pretty average. I'm like 5'6".
And I ask this because, do you take notice of your height?
Sometimes.
It is because two of us are noticeably shorter than the other two.
Yes.
And so recently you played at South by Southwest with Billy
Idol.
Billy Idol, and I heard, maybe you can confirm this for me, that everybody in his band is shorter than them.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's why I hired them, is because I wanted a band that made me look bigger.
Because you only have people in his band that are shorter than him. Is that true with Billy Idol?
Idea. Stevens is a midget. I mean, I love him, but I think he's shorter than I am, and I'm pretty short.
So it could be true, then?
It could be true.
Yes. Pretty much. Yeah, when we were on their bus, though, they were all sitting down.
Yeah.
They're eating dinner.
Any other Billy Idol connections at all? Like, anything else happened on that particular gig?
We met him, and he was nice.
He sort of sat on our laps.
He played air guitar on the side of the stage when we were playing.
He sat on your laps?
Well, we were taking a group picture at the end, and it was you know, got kind of friendly.
he was pretty excited, I think.
He knows his way around women.
Yeah. Yeah. Does he know where to draw the line?
We've really backed up.
Not so. It was a lot like this, talking to him. I don't know. I just remember the quote he kept saying. He was like, he's vegetarian, and he's been vegetarian since he was 18 or something, and he kept going, everyone kept saying that I was going to get old really fast, but look at me now! Look at me now!
He has a son, too, I understand, doesn't he?
I have no idea.
Yeah, his son actually plays gigs in L.A. at the Roxy.
I played there.
Yes, the Roxy. Exactly, Maya. Like, you guys are doing everything in Adonis. You're touring, you get all the gifts. Now, this gift is pretty amazing here. Is it true some prisoners stayed an extra day in jail to make you a personalized gift?
Yes, they made us a license plate to the Adonis.
That is incredible. Like, an extra day in jail.
I don't know. Is that part of the story true?
I heard that for the first time from Grant yesterday.
So Grant is spreading rumors about us, and now you are asking us about
Grant and the smugglers. But this is true, Maya.
I don't know if they stayed extra time in jail, but they were from jail, and they made the license plate in jail for us.
Oh, but lighting up here, Donna's, how hard is it to get on Saturday Night Live?
I think it's pretty hard. I mean, they were really nice to have us at the time that they did.
I mean, that's incredible.
They have to like you, I think. It doesn't matter how many records you sold, because we haven't really sold that many, and they asked us. So.
Have you heard of bands buying their way into Saturday Night Live?
There are specific bands that I could bet you money that have bought their way.
Susan was on Saturday Night Live. She probably bought that song.
And Donna's, I mean, you guys played on Saturday Night Live. Were you one of the first all-girl bands, like, since the Go-Go's to actually play that show? I was wondering about that.
I think it was the Go-Go's and the Bangles, and...
Yeah, Georgia Salt, but they're not all girls.
Right.
Maybe L7. I think L7
might have done it.
They went through a good era for a while, Saturday Night Live.
Because we think about it, between L7 and you guys, that's a long time, isn't it? That's not many all-girl bands playing Saturday Night Live. What discrimination?
It's a weird era. It seems like when we started our band, there were girls everywhere playing instruments and, you know, all-girl bands or girls in bands everywhere. And since then, I don't know what happened. It's like we scared them all away.
Well, there are girls in bands, but they have, like, the guys behind them.
Yeah. There are a lot more, actually, around here. I've noticed lots of girl bands. Like, whenever we come here.
You got the Riff Randalls opening for you tonight.
Yeah, and in Edmonton too. There were like a million girl bands.
Yeah, which is cool. I think that it depends where you grow up and where you're from and the kind of society.
Donna's! I think you were on Saturday Night Live the week before Avril Lavigne.
Is that true? I had no idea.
I think it was.
I remember seeing her. I watched her.
And you ended up having an encounter with Avril kind of because you worked with Butch Walker.
It's true, but we actually, I've never met her.
On the red carpet at the VMAs, she walked by and she was like about this tall to me, and I said hi to her, and she just looked straight into my stomach and didn't acknowledge me. So I'm not sure if that's because she couldn't hear me down there or what, but when we watched her on Saturday Night Live, I remember, because I knew how it felt being on stage, I remember being like, wow, she's doing a really good job.
Now, you guys did your gold medal record with her. When you were doing it, did Butch do anything? You know, like Butch did that sort of gold medaling, right? Did Butch give you any Avril tricks? Did you learn any little Avril little tidbits from Butch? Like, this is the Avril flange?
Yeah, he told us to we should wear little ties.
No.
And she's not wearing them anymore. Why don't you jump aboard a bandwagon?
Yeah. He gave us permission.
He said
ties are open. It's open season on ties. You guys take it before someone else does.
Wife beaters.
Yeah.
And Vans.
He told us that we had
spike bracelets.
He said we needed to mix it up a little bit, and that the ties had to be leather actually, so that it wasn't totally exactly the same.
We can't wait until she's done with tutus.
But seriously, did you have any little tricks there? Any Avril Lavigne tricks provided by Butch Walker? Like, you have an insight here behind the scenes.
No, I think our record sounds a lot different from hers, so I don't think he wanted to bring out the Avril tricks, because I don't think they would really work with our songs.
I think he brought out some bowling for soup tricks or something.
Ba-boom! Yeah. Welcome to 1984.
Five.
Wasn't that their song, Welcome to 1985?
1984
rings better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like
it. It's a David Lee connection and everything. Dawn is here. We don't want to underestimate the importance of TV shows. You've been on like every single TV show, haven't you?
Everyone in the whole entire history of television.
No, you've been on a lot though, like Saturday Night Live, right?
Yes, and David Letterman and
Three's Company,
The View.
What have you missed? Like The View.
We've been on The View.
Like, what else is there? I mean,
been on the Today Show or any of the like morning shows that some people go
like
on.
Ellen.
I would go on Ellen. Yeah. There was a rumor that we were going to, and it didn't happen, but we will eventually.
I'm surprised, actually. I think that that would be a really good match.
How are you perceived in the industry of TV execs? How are the Donnas perceived?
Well, when we were at lunch with them.
When we go to our many TV executive meetings.
You know, when they all get together, they go, we're starting a new show. We should get that band that plays all the shows.
Well, there is that notion out there that we've done it all. I don't know.
Happen, didn't it, with the Craig Ferguson show?
Yeah.
Weren't you guys, like, the first band to play on...
We were.
Like, Craig Ferguson has this brand new show, and who does he bring in but the...
Donnas!
Yeah!
True, but we played that when it was Craig Kilborn.
Yeah, but they bring you in to test them! Like, that's how roadworthy you guys are. What does that mean?
I'm saying check this guy out.
I really like that.
Awesome.
That's very coordinated.
Yeah. Like, if your camera guy was being really weird right now, you could go like that.
Thumb him. Yeah, practice.
You want me to
do your notes?
Thank you for referring to them. To the Zoe time, which makes me look, I want to ask one little question here. The Cat's Cradle.
It's a book.
North Carolina.
In North Carolina. Were you presented with kind of an odd... present there?
Oh my God, I don't remember.
My aunt goes there sometimes.
At the Cat's Cradle, you got some weird sort of satanic jewelry, and you ended up flushing it down the toilet?
No, I didn't do that. I don't know what happened.
I guess there was a wedding ring or something?
They gave me a ring, and it was kind of weird.
Because I've heard, like, if you put, like, a weird satanic thing in water, it'll kill all the bad vibes.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that's what you might be doing by flushing it down the toilet.
I don't think I did that.
I had no idea water was so powerful.
I think that other people might have told me to do that, but I didn't want to be rude to the fan who gave it to me.
Donnas, are you guys in a Britney video?
Yes, in her live in Las Vegas video, when they show the pyrotechnics, it shows us looking like little 12-year-olds.
The entire Donnas are up front?
We're sitting together, but it's you can only see the two of them, because it's like a pan, but they cut it off before.
Have many people noticed you enough?
Not really, no.
What section of the pyrotech, don't they always go off during a Britney show?
It's in during Baby One More Time.
And they go all the way down the runway. And so we went, it was great.
We weren't really in the front, though.
We were like 20 rows, something, 20 rows back.
It wasn't like we were right by the stage or anything.
Tori of the Donnas, who is Uli Schober?
What?
She's our
How do you know about that?
Who is Uli Schober?
She's our friend, and she also has done our makeup when we have done some of the TV shows that you've brought up.
Or some of the ads that you have done, namely.
Oh, my Lord.
I did do one Target ad.
You did a Target ad, but it was an amazing Target ad with Bunny Carlos.
That's right.
Of Cheap Trick, and Uli Schober helped out.
Yes, she was there.
She helped us out a lot. Yeah.
What was the video? Could you explain the video? What was the video that Tori did?
I've never seen it.
Yeah. You've never seen the ad?
It was only aired live, like, during Thanksgiving. It was, like, during that weekend.
It was like a drum battle, wasn't it?
Yes, it was just the two of us, and we were playing drums together.
I think I've seen, like, a clip of it on the internet. Like, it was looped, though. I didn't see the full thing.
I think that's absolutely amazing. Bunny Carlos, Uli Schober, all together.
Yes.
Who thought that we could bring Uli and Bunny together?
I think she helped. I think she helped Bunny a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. And how much does Tori sweat?
Well, we all sweat a lot.
Like, when did you first get the confidence to use a towel?
I think confidence. I think that we have to use towels all the time.
That's not punk to have a towel, is it?
Wait, it's criminal.
Where? Punk?
Exactly. Quote, the Donnas never came from a punk background. As musicians, they just wanted to be rock stars. The people they emulated were Poison and Cinderella. They never thought of the punk rock world.
Oh my Who God. Is that from?
Maggie Vale of the Bangs.
Beautiful. It's not true that we never wanted to be punk. I think we'd be punk for a while. Yeah. We definitely, when we were kids, I think, like, we listened to punk, but we never thought we were cool enough to be hardcore punks.
Exactly! That's why, when did you get over the fear of grabbing a towel and wiping yourself with it?
Well, isn't it?
A fear.
Tori used to put towels on her drums to protect them from the sun.
Because I always thought, looking at punkers, you know, they have a fan going. A fan, that's not punk. A towel, that's not punk.
For her drum heads.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that? That's not in your notes.
She actually just kicks her kick drum with her foot, too.
Is that punk? Am I punk now?
We don't really use amplifiers. We just sing the guitar and bass parts really loud.
It's a big acapella show, really.
Well, well, thank you very much, Donnas. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Well, we hope they all come to our show tonight.
And we hope they bring us some more satanic jewelry.
Oh, and they could buy a lot more of our merchandise from us instead of from eBay people, because we don't get that money.
Oh, and they should throw joints on stage, because we can't buy them, but we can smoke them here.
Oh, and also now we have to go to Booster Juice. So it was really nice talking to you.
Why should people care about the Donnas? Why should people care?
We're a real band. I mean, we don't fake anything, and as you can see, we're just people.
Well, thanks so much, Donnas. Keep on rocking in the free world, and doo-doo-da-loot-doo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nardwar.
Bye.
It's been grand.
Can I have your notes now?
Do you want any?
Don't rub it in. Thank you.
Yeah. This song is about hot boys and tight pants. It's off our album, Get Skin Tight, and it's called Skin Tight.
You got your Yeah.
cover, and it's dedicated to Canada. It's called Living After Midnight.